You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Mentioned a while ago, we like to do songs that you remember from your childhood, songs that maybe you heard your grandmother sing. We want you to know that the songs we do in the rec room are songs that mean something, and we try to do songs that are fun to sing, but also songs that give you a message, and this is one from way, way back.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Leland, for inviting me to be here tonight. What a joy, what a privilege, what a pleasure it is to be able to preach the Word of God. And I want to ask you a question tonight. How can you get to heaven from Odessa? Anybody know how you can get to heaven from Odessa? Well, how do you do that, Brother Leland? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people don't think you can get to heaven from Odessa. But you can. In fact, you can get to heaven from anywhere. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Tonight, I'm going to ask you another question. Have you been to Calvary? Have you? Have you been to Calvary? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Do you know for certainty today that if you should die, God forbid, but that if you should die, do you know that you're going to heaven? Or if the Lord Jesus Christ should come before we leave this building tonight, and He very likely could. Most of us don't think He will. That's kind of the faith we have. We don't really believe that He will. But He could, and we ought to be believing that He would. But do you know for a certainty that if Jesus Christ came tonight, that you'd go to heaven with Him? You'd be a part of that group that is turned around and just goes right into heaven. By the grace of God, there's no other way to heaven except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that way is the blood-sprinkled way. Apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so the way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. By the blood-sprinkled way. By the way of the cross that leads home. Now, I'm glad that you have access to a Bible. I want you to take it and turn with me, if you will, to the book of Luke. To the book of Luke, and we're going to look in the 23rd chapter. 23rd chapter of the book of Luke. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 39. It's interesting that the Lord put this passage on my heart tonight, and I know where I'm at. I know where I'm speaking. I know where I'm preaching. I know the group to whom I'm preaching tonight. I'm aware of that. But I think this passage would serve us well for us, if you've never read it before, for you to hear it. If you've heard it before, for us to reconsider God's grace as it was demonstrated on the cross to two thieves. Two thieves. They're called malefactors in the King James Version, but that means they're thief. They were criminals. Now, before we got saved, we were all criminals in the greatest sense. We were sinners. We were lost sinners. Now, I'm a saved sinner today. Saved by the grace of God. But I'm still a sinner. And I still mess up. You say, preacher, sin? Well, I'm not telling you everything. Of course, we're still in this body of flesh. But I'm a saved sinner. But there may be some of you here tonight, and you are a lost sinner. And you never have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, listen. The most important decision in life that you will ever make is the decision, and it's a personal decision that you make. No one can make it for you. And that's the decision to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Believing that Jesus Christ died on Calvary, was buried, and rose again the third day. That is the gospel. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so tonight we want to look at this experience of Calvary. We might... And I don't title my messages very often. Occasionally I will give a title to a message. But if I were to title the message tonight, it would be The Choices of Calvary. The Choices of Calvary. Folks, we face choices every day of our life. Every day when we awaken, we have choices that we're going to make. Sometimes we make the right choice, sometimes we make the wrong choice. But the right choice, of course, is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what happened in verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. In other words, he said, we are getting what we deserved for what we've done. But this man hath done nothing amiss, has done nothing wrong. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Now that means from noon until 3 o'clock. The sixth hour is noon in the reckoning of the Jewish day. And then the ninth hour would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So there was darkness upon the face of the earth. All of the earth. Not just Palestine, not just Israel, but darkness completely surrounded this earth. Verse 44 says, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Now there are a number of things in this passage this evening that we will not consider because of the sake of time. We simply want to think about the choices that these two men had to make in regards to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that Jesus was hung on a cross, and on either side of him were two men. The Bible calls them malefactors. We can't get around that. That's what they were. They were criminals. They were thieves. Possibly even murderers. And yet, as they were dying because of the crimes that they had committed, the Lord Jesus Christ hung in their midst, and there was a choice that they had to make about the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, Jesus was and is the Christ of Calvary. Now, what do we mean by that? First of all, the Bible says that Jesus was the suffering servant. The suffering servant. No one has suffered like the Lord Jesus Christ has suffered. And folks, He suffered for your sins. He suffered for my sins. He suffered for the sins of these two men who hung with Him. He suffered for the sins of mankind from Adam until the last person that will ever be born. Every sin, my sins alone, were sufficient to bring about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But He bore the sins of all mankind. All of the sins of all of mankind, Jesus bore those. And He did that because He loves you. He loves you, for God so loved the world. Put your name in there. God so loved whoever, whatever your name is. You can plug that name in. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, being saved is the easiest thing in the world to happen. It is not hard to get saved. God didn't make it hard for us to get saved. Now, after we get saved, it's not so easy to live for Him and serve Him and honor Him, because we're in this body of flesh and we have the influence of the world, and then we have Satan and his emissaries all around us. But to be born again is easy. The Bible says simply believe that Jesus, as God's Son, died, was buried, and rose again the third day. He suffered for your sins and for mine. He is also the sinless Son of God. There's a word, and it's a kind of a big word. It's not really a fancy word, and the word is impeccable. The Lord Jesus Christ was and is impeccable. You know what that word impeccable means? It means that not only did Jesus Christ not sin, but He is not sinning now, and He will not sin in the future. And also the fact, because He is God, He could not sin. He couldn't sin. He is the sinless, impeccable Son of God. And yet He who knew no sin, the Bible says. And by the way, doesn't mean the fact that He could sin, but He just didn't. It means He's God. But He died for your sins and for my sins. He's the Savior of the world. I just quoted John 3:16. He died for all of the world, the whole world. Why? Because of His love. Because of His love for all mankind. And He is the substitute. He is the substitute. Now, I kind of want to walk around, but I saw those steps. Johnny, I'd fall off of this thing. But I'm going to walk a little bit. He is the substitute for our sins. He took my sin upon Him. You know, in the Old Testament, under the law, the children of Israel were told to bring sacrifices to die for their sins. And those sacrifices, most often it was a lamb. That's the reason why John the Baptist introduced the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But there were lambs that were sacrificed as the sins in type were placed upon that lamb. Because God knew that the day was coming when He would send His Son to be that sacrifice. And Jesus is that lamb. He is that lamb that those before the cross were anticipating. He is the lamb that us on this side of the cross look back to and thank God for, that He loved me enough to die for me. He is the suffering servant. He's not only the suffering servant, but He's the sinless, impeccable Son of God. He's the Savior of the whole world, your Savior and my Savior, and He's the substitute for our sins. Abraham, in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, was about to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And as he raised the knife to take the life of Isaac, Isaac said to his father Abraham, "Here's the fire and here's the wood, but where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham said, "Son, God will provide Himself as the sacrifice." And He had. Then we see in this passage not only these criminals, but the choices that they faced. The choices of Calvary. You see, both of these men had heard the Lord Jesus Christ as He prayed from the cross. They both had seen the suffering the Lord Jesus Christ had endured. They both had heard no complaint from the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, they would have taken me and probably you there kicking and screaming. But not so the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus said of Himself that no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. Jesus died on purpose, willingly, for you and for me. Look at the folly of this unrepentant thief. This unrepentant malefactor. In verse 39, "And one of the malefactors," this one being the unrepentant one, "which were hanged, railed on Him." In other words, they cried out against Him, saying, "If Thou be the Christ, save Thyself and us." In other words, this unrepentant thief denied that Jesus was the Christ. He denied that Jesus was the Christ. And anybody that denies that Jesus is the Christ is not born again. Romans 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. No, maybe so about it. If we believe that Jesus is the Christ, is what that passage says, and is risen from the dead, then we will be, we shall be saved, born again. This thief denied that Jesus was the Christ. If you want to turn with me to 1 John, the little book of 1 John, way over in the back of the Bible, in chapter 5 and verse 1, we read this passage of Scripture. In 1 John 5 in verse 1, the Bible says, "Whosoever," that's me and that's you, "believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. Period. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is the Messiah, is born of God. This unrepentant thief denied that Jesus was the Christ. Also, we find that this unrepentant thief desired some other way to go to heaven. You know, you ask most people if they want to go to heaven. Most people say, well, sure, I want to go to heaven. In fact, did you know that most people expect to go to heaven? And some expect to go to heaven some other way than the blood sprinkled way, some other way than the way of the cross. They truly expect to go to heaven in some other way. Let me tell you something. Jesus could not come down from the cross and save Himself and save us. Did you get that? He could not come down from the cross and save Himself and then save us. He must die. And He did. Was buried and is risen and is living today. We sang that song about the fact that Christ is risen. You know, the Bible says that the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And in the face of death, that's a pretty serious time, folks. In the face of death, this unrepentant thief continued to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. He continued to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that's the only thing that will keep us out of heaven? And it's the only thing that will cause one to go to hell is to receive or reject the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, all of those who are in hell today are there with their sins atoned for. Christ died for their sins too. They simply would not acknowledge that they were sinners. And they would not acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they're lost. Anyone who denies the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior today will also one day find themselves in hell. A real place. A place of eternal torment. Yes, real fire. No escape ever from this place called hell. It was prepared for Satan and his angels. But God is determined that everyone who rejects His Son will also, I used to say, spend eternity in hell. But you can't spend it. You can't spend it. To spend it means that we'll spend it up. No, simply going to be in eternity, in hell. You see, God loves His Son so much that your eternal destiny and my eternal destiny is determined by what I do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether I receive Him as my Savior or whether I reject Him and go my own way. You see, this unrepentant thief was almost saved. Did you get that? He was almost saved. I mean, the Savior was right there within arm's reach, possibly. Dying for his sins. He was so close, and yet so far. He was almost saved. But look at the repentant thief in verse 40. But the other, answering, rebuked him and said, dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly. In other words, we deserve this. But he doesn't, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He is sinless. He's without crime. He's without any kind of guilt. And he said unto Jesus, this repentant thief, what a beautiful picture. He looked at Jesus and he spoke to Jesus. And you know what he called him? Lord. Lord. That's important. That's extremely important. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says that no man calls Jesus Lord except by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God had spoken to the heart of this repentant thief, and he looked at Jesus, he recognized Him as Lord, he recognized Him as the Messiah, he recognized Him as Christ, and then he asked the question. He says, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." First of all, we see this repentant thief acknowledging that he was a sinner. The unrepentant thief would not own up to that. But this one said, I know I've sinned. All pastors do, deal with children. Oftentimes it's in vacation Bible school, and they come in the decision service, little bitty ones, and they want to get baptized is what usually they'll say. And then you start dealing with them, and you say, "Well, are you a sinner?" And they'll say, "Oh, no. No, I'm not a sinner." Well, they're not ready yet. One must recognize that they are a sinner. And so we deal with them gently, and we don't tell them that they don't know what they're doing. We would never do that, but we just deal with them very gently because they need to recognize that they're a sinner. This thief recognized his sinfulness, and then he called upon the name of the Lord. In Romans 10, verse 13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He believed. He believed, though he was going to die that day. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed that Jesus Christ was going to come into His kingdom. He had heard that. Where did he hear it? Nobody knows. But somewhere along the line, he had heard that Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, was the Messiah and was going to come and establish His kingdom one day. And this thief acknowledged that. And when he saw Christ, he saw himself. When he saw Christ, he saw himself. And folks, when you see Christ, how do we see Him today? Through the Word that I hope you have in your hands. That's how we see the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no physical manifestations of the Lord Jesus Christ today. There are no visions or anything of that kind, nature today. But God has spoken to us through His Word. And so he had seen Christ, and he saw himself, and he cried out, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." This man was almost lost. He was almost lost. He could have been like the unrepentant thief. And he could have also denied that this one hanging in their midst between the two of them was not the Christ, denied him as the Christ, and died that day, and busted is not a good word. Now, wait a minute. I just realized what I said. The word is burst. Okay. He burst hell wide open. But he didn't. He didn't, by the grace of God, he didn't. Because he called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's what salvation is. Call on the name of the Lord. Now, after that, after we're saved, the very first act of obedience is scriptural baptism by immersion. That's the first step of obedience. And then after that, we can begin to serve and honor the Lord and live for Him perfectly. No one has and no one will. But to the best we can by the grace and help and power of God. Look at the consolation. We have the choices. We have the choices. And there's two. Receive Christ or reject Him. And then we have the consolation of Calvary. I love it. "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." That's the consolation, that's the reward, if you please, of Calvary, is that heaven, paradise is heaven. And paradise is up. At one time it was down. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that paradise has been taken up. And now we talk about all of our loved ones who've gone to be with the Lord as being up in heaven with the Lord, and they are. today. Not someday later. But he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And then notice he says, with me. With me. With the Lord Jesus Christ. With the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with the Lord forever. Did a funeral service yesterday of a lady who knows the Lord Jesus Christ. And I reminded those people. There's an old song that we used to sing that simply says, I want to see my Savior first of all. Before on any others, I would call. Now, I want to see my loved ones when I get to heaven, and I'm going to see them. But I want to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look upon the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as God's children, God gives us the promise that heaven is our eternal home. But if you don't know Him, if you've never trusted Him, if you've never called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, why not? Why not? Why would you put that off? As King Agrippa said, to some better day. Almost thou persuadest me, he said. Don't be almost persuaded tonight. If you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ, come tonight. Brother Leland's going to stand here in a moment, and he's going to receive anyone who wants to receive Christ as Savior tonight. Now, you may need to come and talk to Brother Leland and just say to him, you know, I just want to walk closer with the Lord. And that's extremely important as God's child. But if you're here lost, you need to get saved. You need to get saved tonight. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. It's today. Would you bow your heads? Brother Leland, if you'll come and stand. Father, I pray Your blessings upon all of these who've gathered here tonight. We thank You, Father, for Calvary, but we thank You, Father, that Jesus Christ is not on the cross anymore. He's not in the tomb. The tomb is empty. But He's seated at Your right hand. And Father, He's bidding everyone to come. He said, whosoever will may come. Anybody that wants to get saved, anybody wants to go to heaven, they can. By the grace of God and by the blood sprinkled away. I pray, Father, for anyone here lost tonight that they'd simply let go and let You have Your way in their lives. Come acknowledging that they're a sinner and saying, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. And then, Lord, those of us who are Your children already, Father, there's always a closer walk that we can have. And I pray, Father, we'd be convicted of that. But have Your way in these moments of invitation. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? And as we sing, God speaking to your heart, you need to come. Would you do it right now? Brother Leland?
You come on this verse. I wandered far away.
The paths of sin, too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home.
Heard the plan of salvation as simple as it could be put tonight. Just go to Calvary. I don't know of any way of saying it any plainer. And we're not going to beg you to come. Somebody said this one time, I have to beg you to come, I have to beg you to stay. But I want Charles just to play through that verse one time. If God's touching your heart, then react tonight. The only deathbed conversion in the Bible you just heard about tonight was that malefactor on the cross. That's the only one. So that shows us it can be done. It's just seldom done. So don't wait. So as Charles plays, while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, would you take this moment to come and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Right this minute, would you come? Yes, sir. Someone else, come on, right now. Maybe you just need to come and pray. That's great. Would you come on? Bam. Anyone, would you come? While people are praying, while people are being saved, while people are getting things right with God, would you do it? Oh, how many times have we put it off? Would you come? Come on. Sing that chorus one time, Charles, and we'll be through.
Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord.
With our heads still bowed and our eyes still closed, people are still praying. The refreshment bar is open and the goodies. Thank you again for being here. Pray for us. Remember Carolyn Templeton and pray for her. Our Father, thank you for those that came tonight. Thank you for those that mean business with you. Thank you for Brother Clydell and his message and the simplicity of it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.